things, though. If the Cazadores had found inhabited bunkers, then so could his divers. The airship continued to transmit a message of hope over the radio waves. If you are listening, don't be afraid. We are the last humans, and we are in the skies looking for you. If you're out there, respond to this message. We will never stop diving for humanity. Until a few days ago, they had heard nothing. It wasn't until they transferred from the Hive to the repaired and refitted Discovery that they had detected a signal coming from an island called Jamaica. It wasn't a message or even an SOS, just garbled noises in response to their own transmission. According to Cazador records, their Navy had never raided the location, which meant there could be survivors. But it was also dangerously close to Red Sphere, not even 200 miles from where they had dropped the nuke on the facility. The techs closed the launch bay's hatch to the hallway. As soon as it was sealed, a message came over the public address system from the airship's new captain, Les Mitchells. "Green light to dive, Team Raptor," he said in a voice tinged with worry. "Good luck, and stay sharp." Trey Mitchells seemed confident as ever. On the past few dives, he had taken some unnecessary risks to prove himself, which was probably why his dad sounded concerned. "Keep tight once we land," Michael said. "There's nobody to impress down there. And anyway, the most impressive thing you can do is stay alive." "I know," Trey said. "Don't worry, Commander." Michael nodded and hit a button. The launch bay doors opened to a dark sky. The platform extended away from the ship as the divers walked out into the wind. He didn't waste a second studying the drop zone, just gave a nod to Magnolia. This time she could yell the motto, but he was still the first to step off the extended platform into the clouds. For a moment he felt the sensation of pure weightlessness, like a feather caught in a gale. The forces of wind and gravity seemed caught in a struggle over his body. A glance over his shoulder confirmed that the other two divers had followed him out of the belly of the airship. Cricket, still hovering in the launch bay, would wait a few moments before joining them in the darkness. Michael studied the cloud cover and surrendered to the pull of forces on his suit. Anxious to get a view of the ground, he stretched his arms and legs out into a hard arch, then broke into a stable freefall position. Could this really be the location of more survivors? A place where people had managed to scratch out a living from the toxic earth over the past 2.5 centuries. A wind shear slammed him, and the sky went topsy-turvy. At the first dazzling flash of lightning, habit took over, and he straightened his legs and drew his arms in against his body, pulling himself into a nosedive. The electrical storm appeared to be a safe distance away, but he wasn't taking any chances in this turbulence. Wind whistled over his armor as he broke through the mattress of cold air pushing up on him. Two beacons blinked on the translucent subscreen of his heads-up display, or HUD. Magnolia and Trey were still above him, but closing fast. After Michael, Mags was the most experienced diver in the world, but Trey was learning fast. Over the past few months, the two young men had bonded, becoming closer than ever. And after protesting long and loud, the captain had at last agreed to let his son dive on this risky mission. Watching Les say goodbye to Trey before the dive had reminded Michael of how he used to feel when his father dived over a decade ago. But this would be different. Trey was coming back to his family, and Michael was glad to have him along for the dive. Cricket was also an excellent addition to the roster, bringing an entirely new element to the team. Still in his nosedive, Michael looked up beyond his feet to the red nodes of the robot plummeting through the clouds. Magnolia had also maneuvered into a suicide dive, as they called it, and was coming up fast. A moment later, she was rocketing down beside Michael, the glow of her battery unit illuminating her slender but muscular form. She glanced over, and though he couldn't see her face behind the mirrored visor, he knew she was grinning. "This isn't a race," he said over the comms. "Nope. But I'm gonna beat you to the ground anyway." She moved her helmet downward and continued past him, blasting through a cloud that enveloped her in darkness. At 10,000 feet, going this speed, they were only a minute from the ground. Soon he would be able to see the surface and their target, a former prison, according to the database on Discovery. Michael remembered as a kid reading about the search for alien life on other planets. Now he had an inkling of what scientists must have felt back then, and looking for evidence of life in the distant stars. In a way, the divers had found modern aliens and the mutant creatures on the surface.